Welcome to Capagansas Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Delighted to be with you. Thanks so much to Chris Check for covering with for me yesterday. And I am very excited about today's show. We haven't seen Trent Horn in a long time since the newest member of the Horn family was added. I don't think we've had Trent on once since the baby came. So we'll ask Trent about the baby. And if you don't know about the birth of Trent's baby, we'll ask him about that a little bit. We're going to talk with Trent about just general tips for defending the faith. So if you have questions on defending the faith, second hour is perfect for you. I think we're all feeling good because the great issue is finally resolved. We know who the next president of the United States is. I'm going to have to withdraw that previous statement. We still live in a very unsettled world. And we have a great guest for you the first hour because, and Darren did this on purpose. He scheduled our guest, Father Jeffrey Kirby, for this first hour after the election because he has a wonderful new book out just this year in September called Living in Peace. And we need some peace in our lives. And you might be among those who say, I just can't get peace. The world is just upside down. But I think Father Kirby is here to tell you that you can, that the Lord wants you to have it, and that he will help you to have it. Father Jeff Kirby is senior contributor to Crux News. He's the author of a whole bunch of books for Our Sunday Visitor, Ave Maria Press, St. Benedict Press, Tan Books. He's a papal missionary of mercy, and he's the pastor of Our Lady of Grace Parish in Indian Land, South Carolina. As I said, our topic with Father Kirby is Living in Peace, because that's the title of his brand new book. Father Kirby, thank you for being with us.
My pleasure, Cy. Good to be on the show.
I'm gathering you probably get it why a lot of people don't feel very much at peace right now.
Exactly. It's almost like, do you want it chronologically, alphabetically?
Right.
We have a lot going on.
But part of the point of your book is that your circumstances, even the circumstances of the wider world all around us, that this is not the thing that determines whether or not you are able to live in peace.
Absolutely. And that is, I think, one of the greatest pieces of biblical wisdom, that oftentimes our own fallenness or the utilitarianism of our Western culture, we can so oftentimes just overlook. But biblical wisdom is clear. The Lord is clear that peace is a divine gift. It comes from above. And if we keep looking for our peace in the midst of the state of affairs of this world, which is fallen, then we will never have peace. We always think, well, if I just have more money, or if this political party wins, or if this health concern goes away, there's always something else that we think is taking away the peace. And ultimately, we realize we're in a fallen world. There's always going to be something. So I can either choose to be completely miserable, or I can realize the biblical truth that peace is possible, but it's a gift from above.
But then there's the person, Father, who in a certain sense, I think, refuses peace. But because, and I have to count myself among this person sometimes, there's so much that is wrong, and there is so much that needs to be addressed, and there's no time for me to have peace right now. I'll have that later. We work here and do this and go there. And what do you say to that person?
Yeah, I certainly get it. I think that, not only is the creation around us fallen, but so are our own hearts. Oftentimes, we want to accept a certain defeatism, or, we become perhaps complacent or even falsely comfortable in a certain degree of misery. And we just think that that's the way it's going to be. The idea of having this internal peace, or, this gift from above, it almost sounds like a child's, fantasies, because so oftentimes the world can beat us up. And my challenge and invitation, echoing from the Lord himself, is that give it a try. Give it a try. Whenever someone says, that's fantasy, that's not the real world.
Right.
Actually, I think it's the best cure for the real world. And my challenge to people is to live it. Just do, seek to live this way of life for a week, to have that peace within. And as things bother you, like the gaslight comes on when you're late to work, or, there's an argument at home, or there's all the things that happen in our lives and in family life, in our society, just for a week, then attempt to live with that gift of peace in your heart that nothing can take, and to guard that peace. And oftentimes, if people accept it, and of course, we have to accept this and work on this. This is why God gives us his grace. Then suddenly, people say, you know, like, it was one of the worst weeks in a couple of months, but I was able to keep my peace. And oftentimes, you know, we ourselves can be surprised at how we can respond or what God can do through us when we have that peace. And as Teresa of Avila described it, you know, our army can be at battle on the borders of our soul while the Lord rests peacefully in the throne room of our hearts.
Wow.
So this isn't Pollyanna. This isn't, oh, just think positive. No, like, no, this world is fallen, and the trenches can be hurtful and dangerous. But in the midst of all that, the Lord does truly give us a gift from above.
Father Jeffrey Kirby is our guest. He's the pastor of Our Lady of Grace Parish in Indian Land, South Carolina, and he's got a brand new book. He's got a whole bunch of books, but he's got a brand new book called Living in Peace. If you'd like to talk about how to find that peace and how to live in that peace yourself, 888-318-7884. Perhaps you want some help for another person, 888-318-7884. So how do I get it, Father? I say, okay, you know what? Jesus says, peace be with you. And he clearly wants us to live in peace. And we even call him the Prince of Peace. I don't have it in my life. How do I get it?
Right. I think maybe it'd be helpful at this point to look at the biblical definition of peace, or the definition that comes from the intellectual tradition that flows from the scriptures. And if we look at peace as, well, that means there'll never be tension, and there'll never be, you know, hurt or harm, and everything will always go my way, right?
Yeah.
And I'll always get my will. Well, that's not peace at all. That's just raw selfishness, and let's not disguise those things behind, more noble things. So if we look and say, well, what definition do we get as we dive into this question of peace? And the simple definition given to us from our tradition is that peace is a tranquility of order. You know, what does that mean? Well, you know, obviously, as Christians, believers, people of goodwill, we acknowledge that there's a certain order. 2 + 2 = 4. Parents are the shepherds, the leaders of their home, and so on. We can create and come up with certain things that we all acknowledge, that we can observe and say, this is an order to this. Well, so long as we respect that order, and there's a tranquility of that order, there's peace. So if I wanted to call an oak tree a tulip, or a tulip an oak tree, then I not only lose peace with all tulips and oak trees, I also lose peace within my own soul. Because it's only when I acknowledge this oak tree is an oak tree, or this tulip is a tulip, that I have peace with oak trees, tulips, and myself. So in my exchange with my neighbor, if I realize, well, this person is made in the image of God and therefore connected to me in a way beyond my preferences or emotions, and there is an appropriate way, a tranquility of order by which I am to treat them and by which I am to permit them to treat me, right? So we have this tranquility of order that comes from the scriptures, and that's peace. So I think once we get a clear definition, suddenly it's like, oh, so you're saying I can have the gift of peace even when there's great tension. Absolutely. Now, we want a lack of tension, right? We don't want to, tension or hurt or harm, right?
Right.
But and it's great when peace includes that. But of itself, like, if a parent were to say, well, are you trying to say that there's actually peace when I enforce the curfew and my teenager's late and they throw a huge fit? Yes, absolutely. Even though there's certainly tension and screaming, nevertheless, in that situation, there's a tranquility of order. The parents are parenting. Children are being taught about rules and respect for authority and what it means to live in a small community and a family. Yes, there's peace, even though there's great tension, right?
So
we seek to have no tension, but that just because there's tension doesn't mean that we have lost peace or that we have to surrender our peace.
That's a tough one, Father, because I think a lot of us go with the impression that any kind of discord means that there's a lack of peace, that somehow we're lacking peace. But But I suppose what you're saying is in normal life, there's discord. That has nothing to do with whether or not one is abiding in peace.
Absolutely. And the Lord acknowledged this when, you know, of course, we have various references of his teachings when he spoke of peace. And in one sense, he says, I've come to bring, you know, peace. And then in another place, he says, do not think that I've come to bring peace, but rather the sword. And so how are we to reconcile what appear to be different teachings? Well, once we look at the fullness of what he's explaining, we see very clearly that he has not come to bring the fallen or the misdefined peace of this world. Like, he has not come to, you know, simply be the happy clappy person that is nice and makes us all be nice to people and you know, not acknowledge wrong or fault or not stand up for the vulnerable and instead just kind of smile and act as if everything's okay. That is the false peace of this world. And the Lord says, I have not come to bring that. In fact, to that I have brought the sword, right? But he has offered the higher peace, the peace from above, the peace that's the tranquility of order. So, for example, if I go on Saturday mornings to pray in front of an abortion clinic and people are yelling and screaming in my face while I'm simply trying to pray or to support and protect the vulnerable, both the young woman as well as her unborn child, there is a profound peace there, even though there is yelling and screaming and name-calling and various things of that sort. And if I say, I don't want to go through that, so therefore I won't go so that I can have peace. Well, I've just surrendered the true peace, the peace from above, which always complements justice, for a false peace of this world, right? And instead of there being true peace, I'm sitting instead having, you know, this false peace in the culture of nice.
Father, very, very helpful. Father Jeffrey Kirby is our guest. He's got a brand new book called Living in Peace. Guess what? It's about living in peace, which is something we all need more of. And times of discord are not times where we can live in peace despite them. At least that's what I'm hearing from Father. But within them and as part of them and as part of living out our call to bring the good of order to society. 888-318-7884 is our number. 888-318-7884. We get to callers, if you've got questions about living that life of peace, or whether for yourself or for someone else, we will get to your calls right after this. 888-318-7884.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Now there's a fast and easy way to get in touch with EWTN, the EWTN Everything Number. Call 1-800-447-EWTN to get the latest information on programming, special events, pilgrimages, and more. Our EWTN Family Viewer Services representatives are ready to help you with whatever your needs may be. The EWTN Everything Number. 1-800-447-EWTN. EWTN.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, that store-wide sale we've been talking about for more than a month now. It continues. We can get everything on sale over at shop.catholic.com, and you can get $5 flat rate shipping anywhere in the continental U.S. Just go to shop.catholic.com. Our guest is Father Jeffrey Kirby. He's got a brand new book, called Living in Peace. And Father, maybe just, I got a bunch of callers I want to go to, but maybe just say a word about what was the kind of the genesis of this book? What brought you to write a book about living in peace? And then we'll go to the callers.
Yeah, so as we know, several months ago, we entered that lockdown in our country. And here at my parish, of course, like the vast majority of parishes throughout our country, Mass was solely by live stream. It was myself and maybe one other person or two other people that were making the responses, and people were, participating by live stream. And I have an older population in my parish, and so many people were home. They were scared. They were isolated. And so I very much focused on the readings of the different Sundays of Easter during that lockdown. And I collected them, and it was very much about peace and hope and the sense of mission we have. And eventually, after the lockdown, I had them and I sent them on, and our Sunday visitor looked at them and said, could you turn these into more reflections rather than, you know, homilies? I said, sure. So we worked on that and adjusted them, and that really is living in peace. So their meditations based on the homilies that were given during the lockdown. And I think it's so important that the listeners hear that, because it was very much, as I think every good priest felt during that lockdown, the serious responsibility to profoundly preach the good news, hope, peace, a sense of mission, stay focused during that lockdown when so many people were struggling with darkness and anxiety and fear. And I pray that when people read those reflections, that they feel that pastoral depth, not only of my heart, but of the heart of our Lord that comes to us, you know, through the written word of God. So that's how this book kind of developed and then came about.
It's interesting that it did, because it really has not been a peaceful year. You just don't feel that anything's at peace this year.
Amen. Amen. So I'm sorry, it's become a big joke. Just whenever something goes wrong, someone says, well, it's 2020.
I know. You know, like, I know.
It's just, yes.
Right. Well, let's go to some calls then. If you have questions about finding the Lord's peace in your life and living in peace, as the title of Father's book says, Living in Peace, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. Up first is Scott in Coppell, Texas, listening on KATH 910 AM. Scott, your question for Father Jeffrey Kirby.
Hello, gentlemen. Can you hear me?
We can.
Good. Father, my question is, I use this phrase, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. I believe it's from the Psalms. Do you recommend memorizing the Psalms or verses like that? I say it over my head as much as I can every day.
That's beautiful, Scott.
Absolutely, about Scott. That? Absolutely. I'm very glad you mentioned that, Scott, the 150 Psalms. And in most Bibles, they even, you know, give like little headings in terms of, you know, this is a psalm of thanksgiving, or this is a psalm in time of distress, or a psalm in times of temptation. So most translations of the Bibles have some type of, you know, again, header or description of the psalm. But the 150 Psalms that can be found in the Old Testament are a gold mine in terms of the Word of God expressing, you know, the very sentiments of our own heart. Not only do they express them, but they can help us to order them, because most psalms begin in a really dark place and they lead the soul to a place of light and praise and glorification. So definitely the Psalms. I also mentioned, Scott, as you talk about the Word of God, I will say that, you know, the book of Proverbs, there's 31 Proverbs, and a full month has 31 days. And I would say whatever the day is that you read that proverb. So today is November 4th. So you open up the scriptures and read Proverbs chapter 4, right? Proverbs are power-packed. It's a father's wisdom, a parent's wisdom being passed on to his son, to his child. And that's another opportunity, easy way. If someone says, I don't know the Bible, it's so complicated, it's filled, overwhelmed. It doesn't have to be that way. Book of Proverbs in the Old Testament. Choose the Psalm of the day, the Proverb of the day. There's 31 Proverbs, 31 days in a month. November 4th, read Proverbs 4. So the Psalms, the Proverbs, divine wisdom, great resource.
Sounds great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott. God bless you. Thank you very much for the call. We're talking about peace. We're talking, as a matter of fact, about living in peace. Today we figured, Darren and I talked about it a little bit, and figured the day after the election will be the perfect day to have Father Kirby on to talk about his book, Living in Peace. Just one more little bit of 2020 that we're working our way through here. Let's go to our next caller, Berlin, watching on YouTube right here in California. Berlin, are you there with us?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
We can, yes. Go ahead with your question for Father.
So my question is, I'm struggling with, the reason I'm struggling with peace is because right now I'm you know, in the process of completing my RCIA classes. I just started getting into the Catholic faith, and I was raised Jehovah's Witness. And my entire life was focused on that faith, even though I was never a baptized witness. And I just feel very betrayed. I didn't realize it was a cult. Everything I've learned was just, I didn't know it was wrong. And so I'm struggling with that right now, because it's like I have to unlearn everything that I thought I knew about Jesus Christ and about creation and everything. And now I'm learning it all over, but I'm struggling with just like feeling betrayed by this religion.
Yes. Yes, yes. So first, Berlin, if I can start, I think you have a great name. As a child, I grew up in Germany, so I love your name. And in answer to your question, Berlin, my experience with those who've left the Jehovah's Witnesses is that you probably lost a lot of friends and family as you made your turn to the Catholic Church. Is that accurate?
Actually, it's not, because I was never a baptized witness. It was more the beliefs, the values, and all that. But thankfully, no. I have a lot of friends that are outside of that religion. Thank God.
Okay. Yeah. Thank God. Excellent. Excellent. In answer to the question that you raised, you know, oftentimes what we have to do is we have to take what we receive and turn it around. So in Acts chapter 17, when the apostles are preaching the gospel, the men of the city rise up and they want to, you know, harm the apostles. And a righteous Greek named Jason houses them, and they're banging on his door, and they're saying, you know, throw out these men who have turned our world upside down. And that's exactly what the gospel of Jesus Christ does, discipleship of the Lord does. It turns the world upside down. So my encouragement to you is, as you feel hurt and misled and so on, to turn that around, allow that instead to become greater compassion and greater kindness and greater clarity to the people around you.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's not something I'm struggling with as much. It's more like the hurt, the betrayal, and then, like, I have a friend that's still in the religion, and I'm trying.
Oh, we got a little bit of technical trouble there. I beg your pardon, Berlin. And did we lose Father as well? Oh, well, we're going to get them both back in just a second. Berlin, just dial the phone again, because we're going to put you straight on, since we're in the midst of getting an answer for you from Father Jeffrey Kirby. If anyone else would like to call, 888-318-7884, if you'd trust us with your phone call at this point. We'll understand if you didn't, but we'd be grateful if you did. 888-318-7884. We're talking with Father Jeffrey Kirby. Father is the pastor of Our Lady of Grace Parish in Indian Land, South Carolina. He's a missionary of mercy. You might remember the Missionaries of Mercy established by Pope Francis some years ago to, in fact, go out into the world and share the mercy of Christ. He's got a brand new book called Living in Peace, and we thought Living in Peace was the perfect book to start off the new moment in our country's history following the election yesterday, but we're not quite up to a new moment yet. We're still living in the old moment for a little while. We expected a decision would be made, and we might all be ready to say to ourselves, well, what do we do next? Whatever the decision is, one way or another, we've got to take that next step. Now we don't know. We don't know because we're still awaiting the results of the election. But that, as Father has been saying, there's always time to live in peace. It's always time to take on the peace of Christ. And that's what this hour is about. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. Do I have Father back on the line yet? Then we don't know. All right. Well, I'm going to tell you about the free ebook then. And then as soon as I'm done telling you about it, I'm sure we'll have Father back with us. And Berlin, hang on a quick sec. Right now, the November free ebook is 20 Answers Prayer. This is another conscious decision on our part, knowing what we would need in November of this year. Prayer, prayer, prayer. That's what we need. It's our best weapon against evil. And you can learn more about prayer with the new very special free ebook from our very own Father Hugh Barber and Father Sebastian Walsh, who was just on with us earlier this week. Visit shop.catholic.com. Download your free copy of the the ebook, 20 Answers Prayer. Look at the top of the page. You'll see a button there, and you can get your free ebook at shop.catholic.com. Our guest this hour has a brand new book out called Living in Peace. You can get it wherever good Catholic books are sold. Life is a blessing. It's good and beautiful, but it doesn't always feel that way. And so Father Jeff Kirby wants you to help find out how this beautiful gift can actually be lived beautifully. And that requires on us to receive the gift of peace that comes from Jesus our Lord. Living in Peace, available now. Your questions about living in peace. And, you know, Berlin, we got to take a break now. We'll get right back to your question when we come back after this. 888-318-7884.
We're here for you. Call now. Catholic Answers Live.
If you spend any time on Twitter, Facebook, or mainstream media, you're probably familiar with the litany of slogans that skeptics employ to rescue you from the foolish belief that God exists. The constant onslaught seems to leave people with the idea that they have no alternative but to embrace atheism. How can a Christian respond? In One Less God Than You, John DeRosa breaks down 20 of the most common atheist challenges and shows you how to craft effective answers. Atheism is more aggressive and widespread than ever. Read One Less God Than You and prepare yourself to respond with the joyful truth that God is real. To get your copy of One Less God Than You, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
To many people, even many Christians, purgatory is a fantasy, or worse, a wicked lie invented by the church to make salvation complicated and keep people in fear. But I'm here to tell you that purgatory is fact, not fiction. The Bible supports it, Christians have historically believed in it, and it makes theological sense. In my new book, Purgatory is for Real, I provide the evidence and reasoning to help you understand this controversial doctrine and demonstrate how it's actually a joyful, hopeful reality, not something shadowy and mysterious, but a sign of God's love and mercy. To get your copy of Purgatory is for Real, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Our guest this hour, Father Jeff Kirby, has a brand new book out that we were excited to share with you as we conclude what we thought would be the day after the election season, a season of some considerable discord and anxiety in our society. And both of those things can be the enemy of our peace. So the book is called Living in Peace. Father wrote it as a response to the kind of isolation and upset and worry and lack of peace, really, that accompanied the arrival of the pandemic and the shutting down of the country. And so we invite you to call and ask Father your questions, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. I got to see real quick here if I have Father Kirby back with us yet. Do we have Father Kirby back? Okay, well, that's unfortunate. I don't. I hope everything's all right in South Carolina, but I'm sure that it'll be fine. But I'll tell you what we'll do because we're gonna the second hour is with Trent Horn, and we haven't seen Trent in a long time. So why don't we visit with Trent for a bit, and we'll go right into the second hour topic. And I apologize to folks that we're gonna have to move on from Father Kirby, but we're just not able to reestablish that connection with them. And I apologize to callers as well, but it's very easy for us to fix. We'll just have Father on again very, very soon. And I've been wanting to talk with Trent Horn here because I haven't seen Trent. I've hardly seen Trent in months and months. You got to know. Oh, hello, Trent Horn.
I am here.
The topic for Trent, by the way, we'll just shift topics real quick right here, and that is if you'd like tips on defending the faith. The rest of this half hour and the next hour will be with Trent on tips for defending the faith. 888-318-7884.
I'm also open side talking about the church and the world. I mean today of all days, this is not a normal day. There's just a lot going on. I'm glad we're talking about providing people with peace.
Have you had any lately?
Well, I have a new baby at home. That's another reason you haven't seen me here for a lot of things, actually.
No.
So we'll lead into some questions. Yeah. So we were blessed to have. So I took some paternity time off. Our lovely little third child, Mr. John Paul Horn, was born September 10th.
Who'd you name him after?
My cousin, John Paul. Oh. Bob, John Paul Bob.
John I'm Paul. Just, John Paul, Jim Bob.
John Paul, Jim Bob, Joe.
Okay.
No, well, we like apostolic names, of course, John, Paul, and it all just made sense. It's so funny, Si, we always have like vision, you know, ideas of like what the baby should be named. And then we see the ultrasound and we say, that's not what he looks like. That's not his name.
Oh.
And then when they're born, it always fits. Yep, that is his name. And so it made sense just in this day and age. And we were concerned about giving birth because of the COVID pandemic protocols.
It was a mess, wasn't it?
Well, Si, we were concerned that I would not be present at my son's birth because if Laura had tested positive here in California, the protocol was that I would have been told to leave the hospital and someone else could take my place, which makes absolutely no sense. Because how does that make sense, Si, if the concern is that I also have COVID? So we've got two people instead of one. Of course, a pregnant woman should have a support person, because especially when someone is pregnant and giving birth, you have to make medical decisions like what kind of interventions should we do. The pregnant woman is not in a position to say yay or nay to those. She needs an advocate. So the question here is, so I'd have to be dismissed because I might be positive, and someone else could come in my place and get infected. How does that make sense? So we were concerned. We were afraid. And you know what? John Paul is a perfect name because John Paul, be not afraid. Pope John Paul II.
Amen. Yeah.
And so his name fit perfectly.
But the story of what actually happened with the birth
of
John Paul.
Oh, yeah. So I prayed, Lord, I just want to be present at... here, let me finish the story. And then this is good about peace. So I prayed to God. I prayed, Lord, I want to just be present at my son's birth. I don't want to miss his birth. And sometimes... I think God knows that I have read the short story, The Monkey's Paw. And no, I mean, it all turned out, but he likes to have a sense of humor and, you know, a kind of, be careful what you pray for, you know, what you might get. So I prayed, Lord, I just don't want to miss my son's birth.
Boy, you didn't miss it, did you?
No, I didn't. And everyone else did because he was born unexpectedly at home. So that night we walked around the neighborhood, we felt the contractions, but you know, last time we thought, oh, with Thomas, at the point we were at, he doesn't come, he won't be born for another 4 or 5 hours. We'll wait it out a little bit more in the comfort of home.
Yeah.
And then like 45 minutes later, he was being born and I called 911. And in the span of about 45 seconds, I caught him.
Isn't that great?
I caught him. On the birth certificate, it says I am the attendant, birth attendant.
Good for you, birth attendant. Nice job, Trent Horn.
And I said I was concerned, though, we would have to pay for labor and delivery.
No, your wife has to pay you in that situation.
I said the insurance company.
Just send her a bill.
If we have to pay, the insurance company should pay me for that. I'll charge them up the, you know.
You should.
You know, I will.
An apologist is very expensive to get for delivering a baby.
So no, it was, I will tell you this, Si, it was beautiful, unforgettable. I'm glad it happened, but I don't ever want it to happen again that way.
Is Laura glad it happened?
Well, actually, yes.
Is she really?
Actually, yeah. She loved that the birth. She was recovering well. And so, you know, I've been at home. And so, I've been in the office, but I've been trying to take care of a lot of things. So I haven't been on Catholic Answers Live. And then the other thing, which I've made known on social media and on my podcast, but not on general Catholic Answers Live, is actually that we're moving.
I heard that.
So, yeah. So my family, we are part of the exodus out of California.
Yeah.
And I've told that there is a possibility Catholic Answers is exploring various locations to open a remote secondary office, and the Dallas-Fort Worth area is one of them.
I spoke with a prominent Catholic personage in Texas and mentioned that, he actually knew already that the apostolate was thinking about it. And this is what he said. Well, you can't come here and vote like a Californian. That's what he said to me.
No, and I tell everyone when I'm there, I'm not taking my California, not mine, California values with me. And I explain, if you want to listen to it more, you can go to my podcast at trenthornpodcast.com, Council of Trent on iTunes. It was a recent episode a few weeks ago, why we're leaving California. And basically, that just with the pandemic and everything that showed here, we reached a decision that this was not the best place for us to raise a Catholic family.
Yeah.
Just with the attitudes, the government overreach.
It's cheap here, though.
Oh,
you know, like living in California.
Compared to like living on the moon, maybe.
I know that's the thing that I think is, you know, it's the ideology of the state is one thing, and then it's just very, very expensive.
It's very difficult. And that's why Catholic Answers is exploring a regional office, because we would love to grow the apostolate, and we know people can't come here. We're grateful for our supporters in California. We have a lot of great people here. But actually, Cy, I know this is not just me. A lot of families we know have already left. And so we love the Texas area. It's near family, good values, good people. And so we're excited. So I've also been gone house hunting and doing that. But I am slated here in the next few weeks to be on the show a bit more.
Good.
And then I'll be...
And you'll still be on the show with us. I just want people to know that. We're not...
No. It's just remote. But I'll have a setup with a remote office to Skype in, to do the radio, to do everything. It'll be good. And I have a lot of people, honestly, so I had about a dozen people email me from the Fort Worth area wanting to take me out to barbecue. So
really?
I've got meals set for a while.
Well, I should tell people I'm moving to Fort Worth, see if I can get an invitation out to barbecue. I guess you're not supposed to lie, though.
You could say you're thinking about it, and you could go visit.
I'm not really thinking that hard.
Check out the Heart Eight. Well, I will...
The way you and I are different is I'm a Southern Californian, and so all my brothers and sisters are here, my mom and dad are here, and all my buried treasure is here. So,
size treasure.
Buried treasure?
Yeah, I leave clues to it.
If I die, then people get to look.
You could do it now, like Forrest Fenn and his treasure. You never know.
888-318-7884.
Sigh, the real treasure, like you're going to leave a map and a treasure. People are going to follow it. And it's just going to come back here to Catholic Answers at this moment because you were the treasure. And they'll just find you.
Oh, that's beautiful. Or I could just put like the word family in there and go, family's the real treasure. Then people will want to murder me.
I think they'll just break into your house and take your stuff. I got Cy Kellett's treasure.
Good, they can have all of it.
I took his 32-inch Roku TV.
You think I have one of those big giant 32-inch TVs?
Right.
We'll take a break, then we'll come back for calls. So we got Trent here a little bit early, and that's not because I really did want to have a long conversation with you today. And now we got to have it already about what's been going on with you. I'm really happy that you're back too.
Yeah.
I'm happy. It's nice. Well, I got a couple of compliments for you when we come back. We'll take a break, and then if you have questions about defending the faith in this era that is often hostile to the faith, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. For the rest of the show, Trent Horn, our guest, right back after this.
We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
St. Hildegard of Bingen was a mystic, an abbess, a botanist, a saint, and a doctor of the church.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
Hildegard had her first visions at the age of 3, which she called the shade of the living light. She later wrote about them in works declared by St. Bernard of Clairvaux to be from God. Pope Benedict XVI agreed when he named her only one of 4 Doctors of the Church who are women in 2012.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Changed up the schedule a little bit here due to various issues, and now we've got Trent Horn with us. You got to be able to roll with it. Sometimes they have an election, you don't even know who won it. You got to be able to roll. You got to be able to change.
That has been the theme of 2020.
Yeah, roll
with
it, baby.
Roll with it.
Just roll with it.
You know what's sad, Cy, when, you know.
Well, for you especially.
A baby
was born in your house.
Roll with it.
You just roll with that.
And the paramedics, they were great. They showed up as I was calling 911, I was telling them what was happening. And then 4 minutes later, they were already on the road. They were already on the road from another call. So providentially, they were there like 4 minutes after he was born.
And they just let that other person die.
So.
Oh, no.
They were going from, not
oh,
to.
Oh, okay.
They weren't like, Trent Horn.
They were like, Laura Horn. Right. We've got to help her.
Right.
But how'd the baby feel about it? Like, was he fussy? Was he happy? How did he feel about being born at home?
I would say nonplussed.
He was nonplussed.
I would say he was
not. That's quite a complex emotion for a little baby.
Nonchalant.
I've never met a chalant baby.
Perhaps magnanimous.
Yeah, all right.
No, he was, when he was born, is this weird? I'm telling this little birth story, and he'll hear about this in 20 years. I don't know.
Yeah.
But like, or earlier than that, but just here to tell with everyone. But you guys will like hearing this. Yeah, he was born. I caught him. He comes right out. You catch the little guy. And they don't look like the baby on the Gerber commercial box. They don't.
No, they
but they're
don't.
Beautiful and wonderful.
No.
And I hold
okay,
him.
Okay, yes, all right.
And yeah, I was scared witless out of my mind, Cy, because he wasn't crying.
Oh yes,
so
that's
like,
terrifying.
And so I held him with two hands, and I just not shook, but like jostled would be the word.
Yeah,
I
like
jostled.
What you doing, baby? Wake up.
I was like, come on. And I was just like 3 seconds, I was just terrified. I jostled him a little, just back and forth. But then I was like, if nothing else happens, I don't have any other tricks in my bag. I'm not a doctor. I don't have any medical supplies with me. But then he opened his eye. It was like 3 seconds. Then he opened his eyes and he looked around. And then he started crying, which was amazing to me that
So he saw you and then he started crying. That's what you're telling me happened.
I think he was more like, where am I? How did I get here?
And he looks up and he sees you.
That's fine. I don't take offense to that because I cannot possibly compete with the perfection that is the womb.
Well, that's true.
That is a perfect.
Yeah, that's true. I see your point.
We all desire to recreate the womb in our own lives by having everything that we need perfectly placed in our lives with
it's called
perfect
a man cave.
Comfort.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all try to recreate that in our lives. So for him to be out of there, he's like, "That's it. I'm going to be upset." And then he was A-OK.
That's
fine.
Beautiful.
He's doing just fine now.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad to breathe. I mean, I know what to do if a baby is not breathing because I watched cartoons as a child. So you hold them in one hand by their feet, and with the other hand, you smack them on.
I was not going to hold them up like a mackerel.
That's how they do it in the cartoons.
Yes.
I've learned everything medical I know from Walt Disney. You know, we have a call from—
I was going to open palm. I did have one more trick, though. I was going to open palm his back to get his lungs going. But after that, I would just be praying for the paramedics to get there quickly, but I didn't have to. We have a call.
We have a call from last hour, Berlin. And so we're going to, you're so multi-talented. You can even deliver babies. I'm sure that you can be helpful to Berlin. Berlin, I'm sorry that you called on a little bit of a crazy day where we're here, we're not here, we come, we go, but we've got Trent Horn now. Would you like to ask Trent your question?
I would love to ask Trent my question, actually.
Sure.
I've been wanting to meet Trent and talk to him, but I never catch him live. It's always like on older videos.
Oh, this is awesome.
Now I'm here.
One thing I'd like to say is one of the big reasons that I'm actually turning to the Catholic faith is because of Trent Horn, after listening to Trent Horn. So,
well, isn't
one
this
of the reasons,
beautiful?
But.
Well, praise be to God. I'm so glad to hear that. I'm so glad to hear that you're in RCIA. That's very wonderful to hear.
Yeah, so it's a huge reason. So it's an honor to finally meet you. One of the reasons I called earlier was
sure.
because I was struggling with inner peace.
Right.
And what I was explaining to Father was that I was raised Jehovah's Witness.
Sure.
I was never a baptized witness, so it wasn't like I was fully indoctrinated.
Right.
But my entire life, you know, I always prayed to Jehovah. I was confused about the Trinity.
Did they let you
have a lot of family that's Catholic?
Did they let you have birthday parties?
I'm sorry?
Did they let you have a birthday party?
Well, we weren't supposed to.
Right.
But we still did anyway. Luckily, my mom wasn't baptized.
Okay,
either.
Good.
So it's kind of a hypocritical way right. of joining, thank God.
But it's hard. It can be a rigid lifestyle.
But, yes. It was really tough. But at the same time, when I did celebrate, a part of me felt guilty.
Right.
And I felt like, oh, my God, I'm going to go to hell because I'm not following what Jehovah's supposed to be, you know, what I'm supposed to be living.
Right.
And so finally, I woke up, and it was thanks to my stepdad. He's Catholic, and he told me about Catholicism, and everything I thought about Catholicism was just completely wrong. Like, it was a crazy awakening.
Right.
And so, you know, bottom line, you know, I got into RCIA, and I'm converting to Catholic, hopefully by April. Hmm. And one of the things I was struggling with, and I was telling Father, is that I'm still kind of angry, and I feel betrayed because of everything I knew. Like, I have to relearn everything that I thought I knew about Jesus Christ. Like,
right.
literally, like, learning all over again.
Hmm.
And that's one thing I was struggling with. And so the other thing I'm struggling with is that I still have a friend that's a Jehovah's Witness that I still study with.
Hmm.
And even though I know that all of this is just such a lie, I feel like I have to somehow plant that seed in her so that she can start having that doubt
right.
and so that she can wake up from this cult, because that's what it is. It's an evil cult.
Right, sure.
And
all right, Berlin, let's let...
struggling with is...
Oh, you got one more. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Berlin. Go ahead.
One more. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
I still have the Jehovah's Witness Bible here, even though I'm not studying it, only with her. And it's like, is that demonic? Like, am I bringing evil into my home, even though I'm on this mission to kind of try to save her?
No. A few thoughts here. First, when we feel angry, usually it's funny when you look at the different responses. Our emotional responses are usually because certain needs are not met. So for example, when we are afraid, that's when we think a need won't be met. But we're disappointed when a want won't be met. So like, if I don't get my wants, I'm disappointed. If I don't get my needs, I'll be afraid. So we become angry when we don't, usually we would say we're not treated the way we're supposed to be. We're not given justice or respect. So usually we feel angry when we feel like someone has been unjust to us. They didn't give us what we deserved. And so that's where people have a sense of anger. And now sometimes anger is a good thing. There can be righteous anger. Ephesians 5:26, St. Paul says, be angry, but don't sin. Don't let the sun set on your anger. Jesus was angry when he drove the money changers out of the temple. So being angry about something can be a recognition there's an injustice here. And there's something has to be done to remedy it. Anger becomes bad when we focus on the anger as opposed to practical applications towards the injustice. So it sounds like your anger, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is that you feel you weren't treated justly and that you were deprived of knowledge of our Savior and knowledge of the true faith through a large part of your life. You've been deprived of something you felt like you had a right to, and you feel, you know, that this was almost like taken from you or not given to you when it was supposed to be. Would that be right?
Yes, that is 100% correct.
Okay. And Berlin, I sympathize with that because, you know, I didn't come to know the person of Jesus Christ until I was about 16 years old. I know people who had gone through, you know, when I was 16 years old, I didn't know what the Trinity was, really. I thought Jesus was the Son of God. He was a man that God loved. I didn't even realize he was divine. I barely knew any theology. I had to really go through a crash course, and it was Catholic friends that introduced that to me. And at the beginning of my spiritual journey after becoming Catholic, I'm 17, 18 years old, I did feel a bit of jealousy towards other people that they've had this Catholic education their whole lives. They have a Catholic family. And I still don't know who the patron saint of such and such, the patron saint of bicycles. I think it's St. Monica Galiote. My father-in-law rides cycles all the time, and he's got a little thing that's St. Monica. Look it up. Patron saint of bicycles.
I'm looking it up. Yes.
You know, so there's a lot of stuff. I'm like, I don't really know all this. But that's where, when we're angry, Berlin, the best response to anger is gratitude. So anger is like, hey, I wasn't given what I was due, so we get angry. But gratitude is being thankful for what we were given. So the more we're grateful, when we can find more things to be grateful for, the anger goes away. So again, maybe I'm angry, no one ever gave me the faith when I was younger, but I can be grateful I did get it. I got it at my time in my life, and now I have it. To have it even for a minute. It would be better to have the true faith for a minute in this life than to have had the true faith your whole life and then abandon it. Like, if you think about that, that's interesting. Like, it would be better for you to convert and have the true faith, even if, like, let's say you died a day after you were baptized, or a day after you've been received into the church. That'd be better than if you were Catholic your whole life and then you walked away at the end of your life. So to be grateful that I have this faith, I have God's grace, I've been called to his church, I have the promise of eternal life with him, that I have this. There's nothing more for me to be angry about. And now you can be angry for, like, oh, I have a friend who's stuck in this. But what's great is now that you are, you know, in RCAA, coming into full communion with the church, through the body of Christ, you can pray for this person, ask for the intercession of the saints, and be in a good position to reach out to this person to evangelize to him or her. So I would just say, focus on gratitude, what you do have now, not what you didn't have before. The past is gone. The future is ahead, and the present is right in this moment. Pray, love God. And here's the great thing. Don't worry about, what about all the stuff I didn't learn? I went through a crash course. I wasn't taught Catholic stuff throughout my childhood. I didn't really learn everything until 16, 18 years old, but I've learned a decent amount since then, I would think. And so I think that you would be able to do the same. And I have high hope and confidence in you for that. And if you want to leave our call screen or your email after this, call, I'd be happy to send you some of my books and other resources to help you do that. But is that a helpful reply to your question?
Yes, it put a lot of things in perspective. Thank you so much.
Okay, great.
Well, God bless you. That was very providential that all worked out, that you got to talk with Trent. And thank you so much for being so patient with us, Berlin. La Madonna del Ghisaio.
Del Ghisaio? Madonna. Okay, that's why I was thinking Monica, because I saw Madonna.
Madonna del Ghisaio.
I can see the, what did I say, Madonna Galicia?
I
said Monica of, like, Galicia, Galadio. I see it in my head. That's how I have a semi-eidetic photographic memory. So, like, I can see.
No, but, I see
her riding the bicycle. I think she's wearing, like, a blue dress and this little icon or picture that's hung up. So, yeah.
Yeah. Our number is 888-318-7884. In the next hour, we're going to continue with Trent tips for defending the faith. You're welcome to call now. Get in the queue if you like, 888-318-7884. Trent, I just wanted to say one thing. Well, it's probably a couple things to you before we go to our next caller, if there's a next caller before the top of the hour.
Right.
Okay, one of the things I wanted to say, I already said, that's that we really missed you, and it's really nice to have you back. The second thing that I wanted to say to you is that there was a global kerfuffle, I believe the word is kerfuffle, over the Pope's comments regarding domestic unions and all of that.
Yes.
And I didn't see anybody who handled it better than you did.
Well,
anyway,
that is so nice to hear.
Yeah, I thought that you tweeted out some stuff right at the beginning, you followed that up, you did some podcasts on
it. I did an entire, if you would like to hear my complete thoughts on Pope Francis's comments on civil unions. Now, my complete thoughts do not include the recent Vatican clarification from the Vatican on the document.
Before that.
Because I gave the podcast before that that clarification was issued. You can go to my podcast, Council of Trent, C-O-U-N-S-E-L, trenthornpodcast.com if you want to subscribe for premiums. But yeah, I did a whole episode on that, and many people found that to be very helpful to put things just factually into perspective and balance the competing and validly competing emotions people have about situations like this. And so, it's I forget the name of the episode, but it's very recent. Just go to my podcast feed on iTunes.
It should be something like podcast.com.
Yeah, or iTunes, Google Play. It should be something like Pope Francis, same-sex marriage in quotation marks and civil unions. But yeah, and you can check that out. But what I try to do is be very balanced, factual, and acknowledge the competing emotions people have about this.
I can't remember the third thing that I was going to say to you. I can't remember.
Well, we got time. We'll be back next hour.
Yeah, we're going to be back next hour. Congratulations on the baby. I don't know if I said that, but congratulations. We're just super happy to have you back. Trent Horn is our guest.
Back.
It feels like about 100 years since he's been here. A lot of people have said to me, where's Trent? What happened with Trent? And I wanted Trent to tell his story when he came here.
Yeah.
So I just said things like, he doesn't like us anymore. And so now you...
No,
I didn't say that. I did not say that. We're just delighted to have Trent back. And the second hour, we'll do a full hour on tips for defending the faith. it's becoming in many ways more and more difficult to defend the faith. Just as manners evaporate in our society, if you just want to start there. So if you would like some help defending the faith, next hour, Trent's here for you. 888-318-7884.